Welcome to scorenotes.com, where composers speak. Forget the text. Listen to composer interviews in audio.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for tuning in again to scorenotes.com. Today we have on the line with us composer Dario Marianelli. Dario, thank you for joining us today, and I want to congratulate you on your Golden Globe for Atonement. At what point during the project did you know that there was something special about this particular production?
It's very exciting. The whole project was exciting from the very beginning. You know, I started we started talking with Joe, with the director, long before even there was a script. Just talking about the novel and getting ideas going. And there was always the sense that it was a very challenging and very exciting story to bring into the movie theaters, and it's just wonderful that people have taken to it in the way they have.
Indeed. And can you tell us how you first came up with the idea of using typewriter keys as part of the score's musical fabric?
Well, with Joe, it's a very interesting process with what we go through. You know, we start meeting very, very early, and ideas start getting around. And at some point, it was him to mention the typewriter, saying, you know, almost like a dare, you know, saying, "Dario, what do you think you could do with the typewriter?" kind of thing. And at that point, I wasn't really. I mean, it wasn't clear to anybody which way it could go. But I went into a recording studio. I sampled a 1930s typewriter, and I sampled, you know, every single noise that you can make with a typewriter. And I started playing with it. And after a while, I got back to Joe, and I had five or six pieces for typewriter solo. And we just sat and listened, and he really liked them. And, you know, each one had a slightly different character, and it had become like a hybrid percussion stroke keyboard instrument. And and at the same time, I was developing some orchestral music for the character of the young girl, and we tried to marry the two together, and they went very well together. So it was that's how it started. You know, it was almost like an idea thrown in there amongst other ideas, and then it just took on a life of its own.
Yeah, sometimes that's how the best ideas become such wonderful results, is when you take something kind of off the charts and make it something tangible.
Yeah, I think that's how it happened. You know, it was a very vague idea, and just working on it and finding out what you could do with it, and then combining it with the rest of the music and with the orchestra, it took on a life.
Now, how often are composers allowed to take creative chances when developing music for major motion pictures? It sounds like if they were to take chances, it would have to be planned out well in advance.
I don't know. I suppose it depends how enlightened the director is, and how willing to experiment the director is. I have been very lucky in that respect, you know, that I've worked with people like Terry Gilliam and Joe Wright and the Wachowski brothers and Neil Jordan, and I think they're all people, and others as well, that are very interested in a movie having quite an individual identity and an individual voice. And I suspect that most directors, given half a chance, would want to go that way, and see if there is a way to stamp an individual aspect even on the sound and on the music. And with Joe, it's just like that. He talks to every head of department and asks them to come up with something that is specific for the film. It's not generic, and it's he's very good at getting the best out of the people he works with.
And as we see with Atonement, it leads to wonderful results, such as your Golden Globe. Now, can you tell us where you were and what your immediate reaction was when you first heard the news that you were the victor?
Yeah, Yes, well, it was about 3 in the morning, and I was in bed, sleeping, the telephone went, it was Joe, ringing from LA, very, very excited, quite loud at the top of his voice, informing me of what had happened. I was so sleepy, I can hardly remember what I said, but of course I couldn't sleep at all after that. It was very, very exciting. I was really pleased, especially because it got the Golden Globe for Best Film, and it's just a tribute to the huge amount of work that everybody's poured into that film, you know.
Yeah, and I'd say that's not a bad wake-up call, I guess, huh?
No, it is worse.
Now, as far as the award ceremony itself, any disappointment there as far as not having a traditional ceremony that we've been used to because of the writer's strike?
Not really. I mean, it's, those things are nice, but I think the real pleasure is in being recognized and seeing that the film is recognized and walking on a bit of red carpet. It's I'm sure there'll be others. I hope there'll be others. It's I didn't lose my sleep for that.
Understood. Now, looking at, we touched on it just briefly, but looking at some of the projects that you've worked on in the past. How important is it for you to keep kind of a diverse portfolio going, like movies such as V for Vendetta or Pride and Prejudice and The Brothers Grimm? Can you talk to us a little bit about what it's like to work with so many varying storylines and concepts musically?
Yeah, I think really I would be more worried if I wasn't working on such a variety of projects, because I feel I've been finally pigeonholed, which I've tried to avoid all my working life. I almost on purpose go out of my way to take projects on that have some challenge for me, and they have aspects that I've never encountered before, and just see how I can solve the problems and crack it in my own way. I've been quite lucky, as I said, that I haven't been pigeonholed, and as a result of that, a number of very different directors have asked me to collaborate with them, and it's fantastic because apart from anything else, you feel like you're not stuck in a place. You keep learning, and every time there is a certain amount of insecurity at the beginning of a project where you think, oh my God, I've never done this before, how do you do this? And then gradually you just sit and work and you sit it out, basically. You discover what you can do with it, and for me it's a great source of pleasure to discover how far out I can push the boat and just see developing new techniques and coming across new problems to solve is very exciting.
Sure, and I suppose that process takes another turn when you have to work on projects of a real serious storyline, such as something like Beyond the Gates. Now, is it a little more, a shade more difficult to compose music for a subject matter like that than it is for a purely fictional saga?
Yes, I'd say. I'm not sure difficult is the right word. It comes with a different set of parameters, and you just have to be very, very cautious. I mean, that was my sense that, this story was so overwhelming and so tragic in a very, very real kind of way that the last thing you want is to go in and fictionalize it, because it wasn't fiction as it happened. I mean, you go in the scene or you see a piece of filmmaking, but it's hard even to talk about it in an articulate way, because there is something that music does to images that is very weird, and I'm not even sure that I've figured it out yet, but there, it has the ability to to make it feel more true if you do it the right way, or completely ruin it and make you feel like you're watching a cardboard set. So I'd say, you know, I don't think it's more difficult, but you have to be more careful not to go the fictionalizing way and just keep it very, very honest and very close to the heart. And that has implications for, of course, the kind of ideas that you come up with and the size of the orchestration. And I mean, for me, you know, in that particular film you're mentioning, there was a very particular hook that I found into this story, which was the voice of Cecile Kairebwa, who is a Rwandan singer. He was, at the time of the genocide, was the voice really of the Tutsis, and the people there in Rwanda were listening to her a lot at the time. So I thought, you know, by bringing her into my project and asking her to sing for me, that was a very good handle on the story, because it was really, her voice was part of the story in the first place.
Sounds like it helps you achieve that respectful balance and the truism that the music needed.
I think, yeah, respect is a good word. You have to be incredibly respectful. And the moment you feel like you're overstepping the mark, you know, you just have to pull back and make sure that you're not just doing anything that is in any way showing off or augmenting what doesn't need to be augmented at all. It just... I think in those kind of circumstances, the best that music can do is to allow the viewer to take in what they see in a more gutsy kind of way, in a more visceral kind of way. So it's almost like the music is there to let you experience whatever experience you're going to have in a more visceral and possibly more irrational way, you know, in a more emotional way, but without dictating what emotions you're going to feel. I mean, that's really up to you as a viewer to react to what you see, and you'll have your own emotions. And the last thing the music should do really is to push you to feel something rather than something else.
All right, and that's the beauty of film music, is that we could all react differently to the same piece of music.
Yeah, right.
And just looking forward to 2008 for a moment, can you tell us about what some of the projects that you might have lined up for this upcoming year, or is there anything that you're currently working on that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I've got a couple of things. One is my third collaboration with Joe Wright, after Pride and Prejudice at Atonement. He's now shooting a film in LA called The Soloist, which is based on a true story, and talks about a classical musician who ends up living in Skid Row. And so there's going to be a lot of classical music, you know, real classical music, real Beethoven music, and the LA Philharmonic is one of the characters in the film. And so for the moment, I've been doing quite a bit of work. I've been coming to LA a few times to record the music that we're going to use for playback during the shoot of the film, and then the score will happen later on this year. And I've got another project which I'm just about to start, which is about the hippie years in London in the late 60s, early 70s.
That should be interesting.
Yes, quite a first for me. We'll see. As I was saying before, you know, I'm really keen to see where this takes me, because it's not something I've done before. There's that slight panic at the beginning, and but one gets over it, and you find out for yourself what you can do with it.
Dario, thank you very much for joining us, and again, congratulations with Atonement, and I hope it gets a nod for the Academy Awards as well.
Well, thank you.
All right, you take care, and best of luck.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks, bye-bye.